This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance, go.
Surgeon.
Go fly.
Ecom.
We're go fly.
GNC.
We're go.
Delmu.
Go.
Control.
Go fly.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Charlottesville, right now, on the station that is first with local news. News Radio 1070. With best-selling author and director of communications at the Sorensen Institute at UVA, Coy Barefoot.
This is the hour I like best. Don't you?
Most states won't let you marry a plastic head.
Let's vote for Gail. Let's vote. She's more like rail. Vote Gail Parker, U.S. Senate. She's independent. The U.S. Senate needs Gail for rail this time.
It's 60 degrees outside right now, 10 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. Welcome to the second hour of Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA. I played that just for you.
I am really appreciative of that. I was figuring that was like a daily thing.
I play it once in a while. I have it right here in case I ever want to see it, because there's something so exciting when you hear,
"Let's vote for Gay."
It just sort of perks you up, doesn't it?
It does perk you up. I was down in the doldrums until I heard that.
And tell folks what this is.
Well, this is the jingle that cost George Allen the election. You thought it was Macaca, but it was really the Gail for Rail jingle.
It had nothing to do with Macaca.
No, it's all Gail for Rail.
Yeah, Gail Parker, of course, third-party candidate, Green Party candidate for U.S. Senate here in Virginia last year. And this was her very, very catchy jingle. Probably the most catchy jingle from last year's election season.
Dude, probably the most catchy jingle of all time.
Really?
World history. Yeah.
And I mean, it made the Colbert report, didn't it?
It sure did. And Stephen Colbert was dancing, and as my newsroom will attest, just the exact same way I was dancing to it. And I was dancing first.
Spencer is our guest, the founder, editor, and publisher of The Hook on Newsstands Now, and joins us every once in a while to sort of just chat about local news. What were your big news stories from 2006
big news stories. We started the year off with I Harmed You, the 12-step rape case, which continues continues to reverberate. So that was clearly one of the biggest stories of the year. Got the national press all aflutter, because who'd ever heard of somebody coming forward to apologize for a felony? And of course, in
20 years later,
22 maybe.
Yeah.
And of course, in this case, the alleged perpetrator had not realized that Virginia has no statute of limitations on felonies. And what he thought was a move of reconciliation really was a move toward the jail. And
that's where he's going now, isn't he? He was just recently found guilty.
Yeah,
or he pled
or
guilty.
He's pleading, but I don't know if that's been finalized. I think he's offered a plea. Somebody who, our reporter, would be more clear on that than I.
Yeah.
I don't think it's final.
But he likely will go serve some time in jail.
Sometime, yeah. But the bombshell he dropped at one of his hearings a month or so ago was that there were others involved. That was the big shocker.
What do you mean? In that fraternity house that night, you mean?
Yeah, that there were multiple perps. And that he may, although this has come into question, that he may be testifying against some other possible perps.
Because there's no statute of limitations. So they can go back and find former UVA student
who
may have committed a felony that night?
Yeah, like maybe he wasn't the only one who did what he did.
To the same young woman. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't know why that story didn't get as much play as I thought it should have. Why don't we vote that the number one underplayed story of the year?
The least reported story of 2006.
Yeah. BB drops bombshell at hearing.
That there was actually a lot more people involved. And I guess by implication what he's saying is there were more young men who committed rapes that night.
Yeah. But on the same girl who was passed out.
Oh, my God.
Allegedly.
That's awful.
Allegedly.
But I've interviewed her on this program, and she's never mentioned that.
She didn't know. She was passed out. Her story has actually remained fairly consistent, as far as I can tell, that she was passed out and didn't know exactly what happened. She woke up in a state of disarray and believed that this happened, but wasn't sure. And then he started doing the I'm sorry thing, and then he did it again 22 years later.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to happier news, Coy.
Yeah, please.
Out in Crozet, it was a very happy summertime as hundreds of locals got together to play their part in a big Hollywood production, Evan Almighty, the sequel to Bruce Almighty.
What was the final price tag of money that they brought to this area? Was there a number on it that we know?
We don't know what the final price tag brought to this area. We do, actually. I think it was like 11. I don't know. I reported on it, but I'm sorry, I've forgotten the
$11?
Number. $11? $11 million, I think.
Somebody brought a sandwich?
Yeah. But the hilarious thing is the Hollywood papers are saying that the thing could cost over $200 million before all is said and done. I think Tom Shadyac was kind of poo-pooing that at his premiere when he premiered during the film festival, the trailer.
Which, have you seen it?
Yeah, I was there. And
it's actually really great.
It's a feel-good favorite.
Yeah.
There's birds fluttering. There's congressmen jumping around. It's a lot of fun.
It looks like a really fun, good movie.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Of course,
look...
what trailer doesn't make a movie? The trailer is supposed to make it look good, but it looks like a lot of fun.
I saw this director's movie called Liar Liar. All four good jokes were in the trailer. That was a bit of a bummer, but I'm sure this will be different.
When does that movie come out, the Bruce Almighty?
June 23rd, I believe.
So this summer.
This summer, yeah.
And,
unless it's delayed. But all this animal stuff, really, supposedly, it was the delay.
Oh, really? Because it was so expensive to work with animals and the post-production, all the digital...
Right, because it's a story about a big arc, and there's animals going in two by two and just dealing with all the animals. And because you can't have the same animals in a scene, or as the director pointed out, you might have the predators eating the other ones.
So they have to do it all digitally.
Maybe merge them digitally. I don't know.
Yeah. So that'll be released this summer, and we'll see the Blue Ridge and Crozet.
And even though he's a UVA alum, he dropped this other little secret tidbit at the premiere, which was that he didn't even pick this area, that a location expert picked it because it just happened to be like this subdivision on the fringes of a national park. Well, that's what Old Trail is. And in the movie, the storyline deals with this controversial development at the edge of a national park.
Oh, that's interesting. But a lot of the news made it sound like UVA alum fights to bring movie back to his alma mater community, and so it wasn't that at all.
It wasn't that at all. He, according to what he told us at the premiere.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hall Spencer is our guest of The Hook.
This is the year of the smoke bomb case, or the bomb plot,
Boy, that brings back memories.
You and I have talked about that so many times. Why don't we just zip right on?
That's what we were doing. That's how we spent our summer.
Yeah, you and I would talk about that every week.
I was really, in a nutshell, looking back, I was so disappointed in local schools, local lawyers, the machinery of the government, the machinery of the prosecution, of the police. It was like one disappointment after another.
Well, yeah, from a civil libertarian's point of view, but from a protection point of view, the authorities were responding, over-responding, some might say, to a perceived or an actual, to a stated threat. I don't know if the threat was ever really explicitly stated, but it was the boys had the stupidity, perhaps, to say some things they really shouldn't have said.
Yeah, amen to that, yes, absolutely.
Of course, one of the most...
And they needed a good talking to, but did they all need to go to prison? I don't think so.
That was one of the main points.
Yeah.
I remember I was there the night the 13-year-old was acquitted, and even that jury didn't laugh the case out of court. They deliberated. It was like nearly 4 hours, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a tough case. Another jury trial wrapped up here in Charlottesville in May when Earl Washington, the mentally challenged man from, I guess he now lives in the Tidewater area, but back in the 80s, he lived in the Culpeper area, and he gave a false confession in a murder case, and a Charlottesville-based federal jury awarded him $2.25 million for that transgression, for what they perceived as that transgression of justice. And that had an eerie parallel to what went on with the teens, because the one of the teens was alleged to have given a false confession because he was interviewed for so long, where the cop said, "Oh, don't worry, we're just talking. You know, this isn't going, this isn't to be used against you," but it was used against him.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not in trouble. Remember all that?
Right, right. Interesting. We're talking with Hoss Spencer of The Hook. Let's take a break for local news here, get caught up on some current local news, and we'll continue our recap of the big local stories of 2006 on the other side of this break. This is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. We're counting down the big news stories of 2006 with Hook editor, publisher, and founder Hawes Spencer in studio with us. And, of course, the phone lines are open at 977-1070.
I'm not counting down the big stories. I'm rocking out to the Rocky Horror Picture Show music you were just playing.
That's a wild movie, isn't it?
I haven't seen
that in so long.
Whoever gets to see it, they're all these noisy kids throwing toast and rice and jumping around.
Can you still go places where that's like a midnight movie?
I don't know.
When you owned the Jefferson Theater, didn't you show that sometimes, midnight movie?
We did. It was fun.
And you always had to go back and clean up all the stuff.
The staff who were in favor of it were very nice, and they would clean it up, so I couldn't complain.
What's that? Now, you've sold that movie theater on the downtown mall to Corin Capshaw. Do you know, can you update us about what's going on with that?
I think it's being renovated, but, you know, it's going pretty slowly, checking out all the angles, stiffening the building with some extra structural steel.
So that's smart. That's smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's an old building. Was it 1912 it opened?
Yeah, 1912.
Yeah. Gorgeous building, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. And one of the most beautiful views from the rooftop of that building.
Yes.
One of the prettiest views of this area.
Yeah, in fact, when you go on that rooftop, you're probably talking about the back roof on Water Street, right?
Yes.
Those big parking lots, the city is now trying to do a design competition to get national ideas for what to do with those huge swaths of asphalt between Water Street and South Street. That's a big architectural news story that just popped up in the past few days.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens. And we should point out the city doesn't own both the lots.
That's right.
They just own one.
Yeah, they only own, of those two big blocks, they actually only own part of the one. There are at least three other private owners that I'm aware of, one being Charlottesville Parking Center, one being the office building that people call the A.G. Edwards office building, one being the H&R Block office.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
You know, Coy, this was the year of UVA 17, where 17 UVA students ensconced themselves in the comfortable offices of Madison Hall, also known as John Castine's office.
Yeah.
They wouldn't go. They were there for several days. And they were arrested after Leonard Sandridge, the chief operating officer of the university, told them they had something like 5 minutes to get out. But then the arrests occurred after 4 minutes, and that 1 minute discrepancy allowed the judge to decide that it wasn't fair notice. And so they were all acquitted. And then even their professor, the only professor who was arrested, Wendy Marshall, she eventually got her trespassing conviction thrown out because on the grounds that it wasn't fair that if they got theirs thrown out, she should get hers thrown out too.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it was a big case. You know, there were like tents up on, if you were driving by the rotunda, you could see all those tents up on Madison Hall.
I remember when that happened, and I feel this way still. I agreed with the university. I agreed with Castine and Sandridge. Number one, yes, there is working poor. Number two, should we do something about it? Yes. Number three, should they have listened to the kids and given them extra time to make their case? Yes, they did that. Number four, should they let them stay there indefinitely? No.
You know, Castine said after the whole thing shook out that the reason he had had enough was that they were, long after midnight, I think in one case maybe like 3 a.m. phone calls to his house, waking up his wife, people basically harassing him. And he believed that the calls were emanating from his own office to his house. And so he was like,
I'm sure you can tell. And the university phone system, you could see who's calling
you. I guess so.
Yeah. So they were crank calling him in the middle of the night from his office.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's when he had had enough.
Yeah.
You know, this was also the year, with speaking of a UVA connection, this was the year that Andrew Alston, the convicted killer of a local firefighter, was released after serving less than 3 years for that crime. As you may recall, the local jury found that it was voluntary manslaughter rather than second or first degree murder, and they assigned this punishment that a lot of people thought was a little too short, because after all, Andrew Alston did stab Walker Sisk something like 18 times.
Oh, that's that thing over on 14th Street, right?
On 14th Street, yeah. Right on the corner.
And he's out?
He's out. He's a free man. One of the jurors, Elizabeth Kuchai, later went public in her college alumni magazine and said that they didn't see that there had been malice in the crime, and that was what went into some of their deliberations.
The malice in killing somebody and in stabbing another person?
That was what she said.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. there was a very powerful lawyer from Northern Virginia, a guy named John Zwirling, who was brought in to argue that case. And at one point, he actually argued that that the firefighter stabbed himself. That was the kind of thing that some juries might have responded by cranking the punishment up. Apparently, this jury just dismissed that as being ridiculous. But
yeah.
Nonetheless, 3 years was what they gave him.
And he lives here?
No, he's back. Well, his parents live in Pennsylvania. I don't know where he is.
Okay.
But he's out of the Virginia prison system.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, at least we're not paying for his meals.
We are not.
Hopefully.
But, yeah. This, speaking of crime, some people didn't think this was such a big crime, but nonetheless, local automobile dealer George Seymour served 10 days in jail for the April 24th shooting of his neighbor's cat in the Bentivar subdivision. Carmen was so seriously wounded by his the single bullet that entered her that she was euthanized that night, and that became a big cause célèbre among animal activists who argued that there should be stricter punishment for cat shootings.
What was that dude thinking?
He
That's
said,
all I can say. What were you thinking?
He
hey,
said,
there's a cat on my car. Yeah. I'll shoot it.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. You're tempting me. You're tempting me. You're trying to get me to make conjecture. I will not do it. Will not do
I'll
it.
I'll do it for you. It just, I just feel sorry for that family. Those kids who lost their pet.
That was sad for those kids,
I
definitely.
Mean, yeah. But there's a lot of people out there, and I'm related to some, who think, not in my house, but who think that, you know, you got a cat, it shouldn't be out walking around. It should be inside. Cats shouldn't be outdoors because they roam around and they sit under the neighbor's bird feeder and they sit on the neighbor's car. And that doesn't mean that you have to kill it, but, you know, there are some people who don't think that your cat should be out there wandering around. Personally,
definitely,
I don't care.
Definitely,
I
mean, hot topic.
We have a neighbor's cat who hangs out on our deck and he's a sweetheart. I mean, I love him. He's like one of ours. We feed him sometimes and I don't have any problem with that.
Carmen was fat.
Oh, well, then you have to shoot it. Then you'll definitely have to put it down.
Right. I don't know if Carmen could have. There was some question as to whether Carmen could even jump up on a car. But let's move on. You know, this was also the year your 6 o'clock counterpart in the sports world had great hay with this one, when Fork Union Military Academy was briefly under the NCAA spotlight. Because the NCAA didn't understand FUMA has the one subject plan. Do you remember that whole controversy?
I remember Jed Williams on Best Seat in the House, WINA Sports, talking about this to a great deal.
Yeah.
But clarify it for us.
Well, what happened was the NCAA is always on the lookout for high schools that are coddling stupid students and letting them get away with, you know, not doing their work.
Just so they can keep them on the field.
Right. And FUMA, Fork Union Military Academy, is actually a school of strong reputation and has this thing called the one subject plan, where you study one subject for, I don't know, 8 or 9 weeks at a time, and only that subject, maybe 6 weeks, I don't know what it is, but it's a really novel thing. They've been doing it for decades. I used to see the ads in the back of Boys Life, our one subject plan at FUMA improves honor roll, and that's how they do it. So anyway, they got confused. They were like, what, are they taking this one class all at the same time? Whatever.
Huh.
CarMax opened this year, which one would think would send a chill through the spines of used car dealers, because it is a big national category killer, as they say.
And there's no dealing, right? It's just the sticker is the price,
right? That's right.
That's what they're known for.
No haggle pricing. And they immediately ran into some controversy with Dennis Enterprises, which has liked to bill itself as the auto superstore. Unfortunately, apparently, CarMax went to the feds for trademark protection on that term, auto superstore, first. They've got the trademark. So
what happened?
I think there's a little bit of a stalemate. Don't use our term. Oh, we've been using it. I don't know if it's all worked out.
Didn't Dennis have radio ads on this station that where they would sing like the auto superstore, or was that CarMax?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
But I know we used to rent cars from Dennis. They got really good prices on car rentals.
You still can.
Yeah. There you go. And they're right across the street from the new CarMax up on Pantops.
Yeah.
Conveniently located on a mountain near you.
Right. Right in the auto mile. What do they call that? The miracle mile? The auto mile?
It used to be the highway out of town, which is why they have all the car dealerships there. It was the highway to Richmond before 64. And so they stuck them all up there on the mountain to sort of out of town, out of the way. But now it's sort of in town.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Speaking of discount pricing, house prices fell a little bit this year.
Yeah, what's up with that? What's going on?
Well, actually, house sales fell this year. House prices continued their march. House sales, according to the most recent figures I saw, were down about 16%, but house prices were up 6%.
Over the last year?
Yeah, or month to month, this month, whatever, compared to the
month,
same month
last year.
Last year, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's good to know that the homes in this area are holding their value, and then some.
They are.
Because they're dropping in a lot of places.
That's right.
Because a lot of places have this same kind of glut, which causes the prices to drop. But we have the glut of homes, and I don't even know if it's would classify as a glut, but it's certainly a buyer's market. But evidently, there's a lot of homes to choose from, but that doesn't mean that the prices are dropping.
That's right.
That's very good.
Depends who you are. If you didn't own a home and you want to buy one now, you're hosed. they're really expensive.
It's outrageous, isn't
it? I mean, when we were buying houses for the first time, they were like, well, we got the $67,000 model in Belmont.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now you want
Is that what your house was in Belmont, your first house?
Yeah, $67,000.
When Allison and I, we bought our first house in upstate New York in 2000. She finished her PhD at UVA, and we went up there for a couple of years. Our first house there, beautiful big home right near the college, nice part of town, $84,000. And we sold it exactly 2 years later to the month for like almost 120.
Wow.
I mean, we got into the market right at the right time.
Hmm. Moving on.
Yeah.
Sad passing this year. Evan Kittredge, the man whose 1996 brutal beating that left him cold and frozen and badly injured in the back of his own vehicle back in 1996, passed away this year. And speaking of passing away, the one of the big tragedies of the year was the plane crash out at Bundoran Farm, which occurred on June 14th when the developers, who had really come up with a plan that was meeting wide acclaim for preserving most of the open space of that 2,300-acre tract in the southwestern part of the county, I guess near North Garden.
Yeah. Yep.
I always get confused because I think North Garden, but it's the southern part of the county. Yeah, North Garden.
It's so right past the fairgrounds.
Yeah, so this little beachcraft bonanza was coming in during a light rain and fog, and according to the best information we can determine, it was probably a stall out that just sent him into a spin.
Yeah, it's just a tragedy. Awful,
tragedy.
Awful tragedy.
Yeah. And I'm sure George Allen thinks that this was a tragic year for him after being so far up in the polls against a relatively unknown former Secretary of the Navy who was ended up being sworn in yesterday in the seat that used to be held by Mr. Allen. You may recall that it was Halloween night at the Omni Hotel when a gentleman named Stark started shouting at Allen, Mike Stark, a UVA law student, and asked some questions that were getting a little bit too close to the senator, and boom, he was tackled to the ground by some of Allen's supporters. That didn't seem to help the Allen campaign.
You know, I had him on this program, Mike Stark, and so many people were just furious.
That you had him on?
That I had him on. I mean, the guy lives here. He makes national news. And of course, you know, there's every reason that you would want to talk to him as a reporter, journalist, media person, just to hear, well, what happened? But people were so, you know, Allen supporters, they were livid. How dare you talk to this man? He's a nut. Don't let him on the radio. Don't let him speak. You know.
Who knows? I don't know.
He knows how to grab a headline.
He certainly does.
And that is a talent.
Yeah.
Him and Madonna.
You know,
he didn't have to wear his panties on the outside of his clothes.
I don't know about that.
Like Madonna.
Oh, okay. You know, one of Jim Webb's quotes that escaped my attention until after the election, I was reading the New Yorker story. I guess it came out before the election. I just didn't read it till then. He was more rough and tumble than Allen, really. I mean, one time he was asked, what do you think of Jane Fonda being in town? Are you going to go speak to her? And he goes, and this is Webb speaking, who's a Vietnam vet, and Jane Fonda being Hanoi Jane for our younger listeners. He said, I wouldn't cross the street to watch Jane Fonda slit her wrists.
Jim Webb said that?
Jim Webb.
Senator Webb?
Well, he said it back in the early days, I think before he was even Navy Secretary.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that for meat and potatoes?
I don't remember the Allen campaign putting that on the Drudge Report, but...
No. Oh, speaking of another Republican who had some really rough times this year, Rob Schilling, you know, for years, I guess 4 years, he had been the surprise token Republican on Charlottesville's mostly Democratic city council. But in May, Julian Taliaferro and Dave Norris were named the victors over Schilling. And now, of course, he's your colleague here at the station.
He co-hosts the morning show here with Jane Foy on News Radio 1070 WINA. And it's certainly, I think you hear more from Rob now than you did when he was a city councilor.
Well,
talking politics.
Yeah.
Given his conservative take on local issues.
Yeah, he's also a musician in his spare time. Does that ever come out here at the radio station?
No.
Yeah.
Not to me.
Well, you guys ought to work on that.
What do you mean? Is he good?
I don't know. He's got like religious music that he does. He's got a CD.
Really?
Yeah.
He sings and guitar and flute and all that?
Yeah, praise the Lord kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. Well, we'll have to get him to do some of that for us.
Yeah. You stop me whenever you're ready to move on.
You have
on.
1 minute left.
I got 1 minute. Lethal Wrecker this year was hit with a $20 million lawsuit after one of its drivers plowed into a man's car in the allegedly plowed
the
into
a coach, right?
Yeah, a sports coach.
Yeah, that was really sad.
Yeah.
What's the latest on that?
Well, I think he's disabled, but there's hope for improvement. So, and that lawsuit is still active. A big departure this year on the TV world, Beth Duffy, famous for her Take This Job and Love It episodes on NBC 29, moved over to her competitor as an ad rep. That's the last I've heard of her. Maybe we're in for an update there. And Eric Sutphin, who had previously worked for both local police forces, was tragically cut down in Blacksburg this year. Very sad.
Yeah, that was awful.
Apparently a really fine young police officer.
2006, all the stories that kept us going in the media, brought to you by The Hook newspaper. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Hollis Spencer, our guest. You folks have a great night and a good weekend. What you doing?
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.